welcome to East Meets West. I'm Olga Butaman.
I'm Tara Reid. Well, so we had quite a couple of weeks. It's been busy. You're not traveling, but we did get to meet up and have some summer fun.
Yeah. I traveled to Russia ASEAN Summit in Kazan.
Yes.
And that was, this feeling when you see 11 heads of states gathering in one room, coming to Russia. Some of them used to be U.S. satellites, for example, and you can physically feel the world is changing. So that's really an unforgettable feeling. So we will discuss it with the guests with us today. But that's the feeling I want to share.
Yeah, very good, very good. I know last week you had mentioned you were going to the summit, and that it shows how Russia is not isolated.
Well, far from that.
So we had we actually met up this weekend to enjoy the summer. I know a lot of people are. I've gotten some comments, in my DMs about, oh my gosh, I wish there would be peace somewhere in the world because there's so many conflicts going on. And I know, so get out there and enjoy the summer. We did. We went to a polo match and it was the same weekend they had Ascot in UK. But I have to say, as an American, and I've been to polo games in Montecito, California, and also abroad, and Moscow did an amazing, beautiful job. These polo grounds were incredible. People were dressed to the nines, and you can see it on our social media. We met up with one of our former guests.
George Galloway was
his
there
family.
As well.
And you are just used to this. This is this elegance of Moscow. It was just
everyone
beautiful.
Bringing doggies. It's very nice and festive event.
It was very beautiful weather. Moscow does have beautiful weather, just for those of you that don't know. So it was nice to take a break away from, but we still ended up talking about geopolitics.
From tsunami of the news flow, as I was talking to Tara. And we have major news to cover today. Yeah. Let's start maybe with the resignation of Keir Starmer, because that's happening now while we are recording this episode. Mm-hmm. So he's just resigned. I cannot say that it was unexpected. And it's the sixth prime minister of Great Britain who cannot sit throughout his term already. Okay. I think like the cat Larry outlasted six prime ministers of
Larry the cat for prime minister. Yeah.
In fact, Chief Mouser.
They had him sitting outside, just kind of looking away from the cameras, like, oh my gosh, here we go again.
So bored. I mean, I don't even want to know the name of the new prime minister. But on a serious note, I honestly think that his successor would not change things much. Because
we seem to have a pattern with all six.
Because like Andy Burnham, he also stands on this policy of supporting Ukraine, of sending billions and billions of aid to Ukraine.
Right.
So until the leaders address the roots of the crisis, I mean, economic crisis, migrant crisis, and all of that.
Yeah.
I mean, changing personalities won't help us for me.
No, because you're right. And you made a good point because they change personalities, but they keep pushing the same tired policies that people are voting against.
Warmongering.
The warmongering.
Warning about the so-called threat of Russia. I mean, I have no idea where they see it, but I mean, they still repeat the same narrative all the time, warning about Russia's threat.
And threatening Russia, like UK threatening Russia is rather, suicidal on their part. I mean, it's just ridiculous. You look at history and what's happened with conflicts over the time. And, UK is not in a position to do that. And the U.S., they're dependent on the U.S., right? And the U.S. is not going to back any aggression right now against Russia. So they're on their own if they keep on that track.
Well, Kirill Dmitriev, as you know, Russian negotiator, presidential envoy on negotiating with foreign states, he wrote on X that Meretz will be next. Because we hear the same narrative coming from Germany right now. Just the other day, German's army chief was again warning about some sort of Russia's threat and saying that Germany should be ready by the year of 2029 to fight the war against Russia.
So scary.
The same narrative. But, I mean, I think that Zelensky curse is there. It's working.
Yes.
So whoever shakes his hand is ousted or has to resign. But let's discuss it with the guest that we have with us today. During the sound check, he said that he was celebrating. So let's give the floor to our guest who is with us today. Mario Božić, anchor of Mario ZNA. In Russian, it's Mario's night. Mario knows. Mario, welcome to East Meets West.
Thank you so much for calling me, Olga and Tara. I'm so happy to be a guest in your show. I cover it every episode. I watch it all the time. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to talk to you. And yes, I'm celebrating together with British people. We are all celebrating here also from Serbia. Huge congratulations to Brits for taking care of Keir Starmer and sending him to the dumpster of the politics. This is a huge thing that has happened. I was listening to two of you ladies right now mentioning that nothing is going to change right now. Yes, nothing is going to change when it comes to politics there, when it comes to the geopolitical view of the British government. But This is big news, because Keir Starmer last week just said that he's not going to back down. And we had Donald Trump yesterday. I think he has posted on his X account, or on his Truth Social account, that he said farewell to Keir Starmer. So maybe nothing is going to change right now, but UK is moving towards a complete systematical change. There are political parties started with Restore Britain, with Rupert Law, that are trying to change the situation in the United Kingdom and also stop the warmongering. But first, they have the wars on their streets. I don't know how can they say that Russia is a threat when they have people beheading people on the streets right now. Mm. And it's happening in Belfast, it's happening in London. Mm. The gang rape inquiry, 250,000 women raped there, so it's worse than in Kabul 20 years ago. So I don't know. It cannot be changed until the system is changed there. But I'm celebrating, because this is a huge news. This is better. This is even better when England wins on World Cup right now. So this is huge news for the Brits.
I think they're just trying to blame Russia for the failure of their economy policies, for the failure of their migration policies. They're just putting all the blame on Putin. Putin is to blame for all of that.
Yeah. Putin is sending in Albanians and sending in migrants from Albania by boats, you know, with the dolphins, because Russia has this special kind of dolphins. You know, so he's sending them with dolphins to the United Kingdom. Even those Brits that have been brainwashed for decades are seeing the real picture. The threat doesn't come from the East. The threat doesn't come from Washington. They are not speaking to people that Donald Trump is a threat. They are now telling people that Elon Musk is a threat, that Elon Musk has spread the fake news and he spread the hate on social networks. This is why the conflicts, the racial conflicts are happening right now. The threat is sitting right now in London. And also in King's Chair, because Brits are really looking at Charles as someone who is trying to make UK the exact project like from George Orwell's novels. So he's supporting the digital ID, he's supporting the 15-minute cities, he's supporting everything, all those agendas. And the Brits, what is left of them, are ready to fight. And when I say ready to fight, I mean that. We saw yesterday that a man confronted five Muslims there in UK with knife, and he attacked. It was a British man, who is Scottish man in Edinburgh, who attacked a Muslim man. So we are seeing the pictures that are by book, looking at the pictures, pre-Civil War pictures. In UK right now, and also around Europe. But again, congratulations to all the Brits. You got rid of Keir Starmer. That's really big news. And of course, Zelensky's curse is continuing. So don't touch Zelensky. You will not only get cursed, but you can get you can only get some kind of narcotics on your hands. So don't touch Zelensky.
Speaking of Zelensky, he's making a lot of threats now towards Belarus. What are your thoughts about that? His threats that he's pounding his chest a bit. What's that about?
Yeah, I can tell it, but I'm not conventional as my other colleagues. I can say why I think it is because I think because we also saw that Ukrainians are killing each other between mercenaries from Colombia, from the narco cartels that are in Ukraine right now. Yesterday, one Colombian mercenary was killed by Ukrainian. And I don't know if it's about the last shipment of the white powder from Colombia. Is it that, or he is losing? He's playing the card all or nothing. So this is why he's pounding his chest. The man just insulted the first country that helped Ukraine when the war started, and that's Poland.
Insulted
the president. He's insulting Polish people. He's insulting Polish patriots every day, all day. And he has 2 or 3 million or even more refugees that are being fed by Polish taxpayers. And I don't know how that is going to end up, because now they have enemies on West. The first neighbors of West that are their enemies, and in the East, when I say, I think of Russia. So Zelensky is staying alone, and I don't know, he can get from NATO and from European Union billions and billions of dollars, but it cannot help him and get him more popular, because he's losing in this war when it comes to popularity. He's most unpopular outside of Ukraine, because we don't have any kind of information from inside of Ukraine. Because if you want to protest against Zelensky in Kyiv, we say it like this in Serbia, the night is going to eat you. You're not going to see the morning if you go out on the street and protest against Zelensky's regime.
Mario, but maybe let's just give some information to our viewers who may not know what's the essence of the Zelensky conflict with Poland, because they were the closest allies, and Poland was supporting Ukraine throughout these years. Mm-hmm. But now their relations are really in the deepest crisis. Mm-hmm. So I think that now the Polish establishment is finally losing the pink, glasses, as we call it. I mean, they're getting disillusioned. Mm-hmm. But I'm honestly very much surprised. Where were their eyes before? How couldn't they see that those who were killing their great parents, their great parents during the Second World War, those are those in power in Ukraine now. Mm-hmm. So just for our viewers, a very, very short introduction, so to say, into the topic, is Zelensky was stripped by the president of Poland of his award, the White Eagle, which is the highest award in Poland. And he was really, he got mad and he started insulting the president of Poland, mocking at his name, which is, I mean, the worst way of dealing with politicians. So, and the reason why his award was stripped off was because Ukraine called a battalion after UPA heroes. It's like UPA was this ultra-nationalist Ukrainian organization that killed almost 100,000 of Poles during the Second World War in the 40s. So where were their eyes before? I wonder. That's my only question to the Poles.
That's a good question, because I traveled so much to Poland. I used to live near Polish border. I traveled to Krakow. I watched football there. I have a lot of friends there that are nationalists. And those, when I say nationalists, I mean patriots, because these UPA heroes, as they call it in Ukraine, those are Nazis. Those are plain neo-Nazis. The new neo-Nazis right now, those units in Ukraine army. The Polish people, the Polish patriots, for a long time, they are looking towards Berlin and Brussels as far more as more dangerous than Moscow is, because the patriots have seen that they have learned decades of propaganda that the Russians are going to come, and that never happened. But the Berlin and Brussels are sending in the migrants. They are sending in the migrants there. They took the Ukrainians in Poland. Did you know that just 1 week ago, Ukrainians were caught in Szczecin in Poland, smuggling migrants not from Ukraine but from Pakistan to Poland. So they have Ukrainians in crime. They have Ukrainians in mafia. We know that that's a national sport of Ukrainians, corruption and mafia. So they have, and besides that, they have right now a million of young Ukrainian men living in Poland, 21, 22, 23 years old, who are propagating or spreading Nazi propaganda right now, celebrating Bandera. And Poles just, it just needed to happen for them to see it, to try and look and acknowledge that that Ukrainians didn't change. Not all of them, of course. There are families that are refugees somewhere in the West trying to integrate. But in Poland, it's the worst situation right now. When you have Poles protesting every week, telling to Ukrainians, go home, we are not brothers, we don't want you here, we don't want your Bandera propaganda here, we don't want Nazis here, Nazis kill our ancestors, you're not going to do that. And I think that in last 1 year, the Polish people opened their eyes. Before that, they were sleeping in some kind of dream of brotherhood with Ukraine.
I think it started just a while ago when Andrei Melnyk was reburied, when he was brought from Europe, and he was reburied in Ukraine in the with a solemn ceremony, you know, at the national cemetery, and Zelensky was there. But I mean, Zelensky is a Jew. Mm-hmm. So now he's giving honors to the person who would kill all his family, yeah. Would exterminate all of his family and all of other Jews in Ukraine if he succeeded. And back then, I think even the director of museum in Israel was put on the kill list, on the Ukrainian kill list, because of opposing to that, to what's going on, you know, to the glorification of fascism.
Yeah.
But
maybe Navrotsky will end up on kill list too soon. Who knows?
Yeah, he can now because of stripping off Zelensky's award, the White Eagle. He may. Have you heard about the article that was written by Minister Sergei Lavrov, for the European branch of Politico? And the last moment, it was withdrawn from the publication. It was not published. And I read it. I just want to discuss it with you because there was nothing really new in this article. That was Russian position that was there in place with constituency being delivered by the Minister of Foreign Affairs. Mm-hmm. But what was the important part of that article that the Politico refused to publish, it was still published on Russian sources, is, again, this Russian threat. That was the point that Minister Lavrov was trying to bring to Europeans, that what they're doing now, the European leaders, when they're calling suddenly, out of the blue, they're calling for negotiations. Mm-hmm. That they were, you know, they were rejecting this idea and now suddenly they went for negotiations, is that they need to play time till the year of 2030 to prepare with the war, for the war with Russia. What do you think of that?
I think that that's not going to happen because the situation in Europe is going to change soon politically when it comes to powers, political powers in Germany, France, in Austria. We saw yesterday that FPÖ in Vienna celebrated its birthday and they are higher, I think, by 15%. They are stronger than all the other political parties in Austria, and their first goal basically is to stop interfering into foreign wars, also stop importing migrants. When it comes to Germany, we all know AfD, and they're getting stronger. So Europe is going to have, when I say Europe, I'm sorry, EU, because there is difference between Europe and EU, of course. EU and Brussels and Ursula von der Pfizer, as I like to call her, she is, and they are going to try, they're going to have a new front line. They're going to fund billions to Ukraine, and they need to fund now billions to all the left wing. When I say left wing, I mean Soros left wing political parties and extremists in France, in Spain, in Italy, in Austria, in all of the countries in EU. So that's more and more money to try and preserve their politics. This is why they are importing migrants, so they will have more voters. They will give them citizenships and they will have new voters. So thing is that in Europe, if Europe doesn't change, and I hope it will change for good, make Europe great again, basically, have AfD in power in Germany, have FPÖ in Austria, in France, we have elections coming soon. We will see Mélenchon or Bardella. For my end, even if I'm right wing, Mélenchon, when I hear him talk, he said that Kosovo is Serbia. So for me, he's a good guy, you know. But they're all against war, against foreign wars. So there is 4 years left, 3.5 years left, and we will see what is going to happen. Will Europe exist? Or it will not exist. If European Union takes in Ukraine in any kind of term and say to them, you can travel to EU, you have 3 months visas free, you have everything there. EU is going to end up in hell. It's going to be a mayhem there. And I think that European patriots know that, so they're not going to let that happen. So I think that there's not going to be any confronting with Russia. I think that Europe and EU is going to, if EU exists, because I don't know if it's going to exist, but the Europe is going to call its European neighbor, Russia, to try and help them soon. To try and help them, literally help them to get out of the problems that the previous administrations got them in. So if AfD wins in Germany, they're going to renew the energy with Russia, the importation of energy from Russia, also when it comes to Austria and all the other countries. So they are now pushing for everything. They're going to show their teeth. They're going to go into a fight because they can lose everything. So we have 3.5 years to see what is going to happen. Will we live in a free Europe, or will we live in an open air prison that we are going to have to fight against? I don't want to say in which way, but the fight is going to be on if they stay in power.
Mario, but also another issue that Minister Lavrov outlined in this very article was the so-called expansionism of the European Union. And like there's, they're using it as a carrot, I would say, you know, this EU membership for Ukraine, for Moldova, you know, for other former Soviet states. Although I've heard, I think it was Italian Minister of Defense who said that if Ukraine joins the EU, that would cause a collapse, agricultural collapse, mm-hmm. It would cause an economic crisis. So what do you think of all of those using EU membership as a carrot for all of those former Soviet states?
Yeah, and other states too. They've been using that EU carrot for Turkey for how long? For 50 years, they've been using that carrot for Serbia for how long? 26 years. And of course, I always say, thank God that I'm born in Serbia, because Serbia is not a part of the EU. It will never become a part of the EU, because here 65 to 70% of people are strictly against the EU. Even if we have protests on the streets, one side and the other side, nobody carries the EU flags. It's shameful. You're being considered as a mentally ill person if you wave an EU flag in Serbia.
I had a question about you mentioned just kind of in passing there about
you brought up a valid point that the West is falling, right? So this brings us to the unipolar world that we've been experiencing is now a multipolar world. And of course, Russia and China and South Africa are leading BRICS nations, and the smaller nations are now getting their own voices and having more autonomy and having, and so that'll lead to digital currency and changes in currency. How do you see your country evolving with BRICS and currency and all the changes that are coming with multipolar world?
Yeah, right now, I don't see any kind of political initiative here from the official politicians and leaders here that are trying to get themselves closer to that kind of politics and to BRICS. But I hear them talking about the EU doesn't have an alternative. But from the other side, that same EU is trying to influence the political situation in the country. So it's like a Spanish soap novel, you know, like soap opera series. And but trust me, when we talk about the EU, when we talk about them giving out the carrot and trying to lure in Moldova and the other ex-Soviet Union countries there or other countries there, what would happen to EU if Ukraine becomes a member of the EU? Do you know what would happen with EU? They would have 500,000 military-aged men with trauma in EU countries. They don't want to work. They're not going to work in gardens. They're not going to work in McDonald's. They're going to do what the Ukrainians do the best, mafia. Mm-hmm. They're going to go and they're going to make hell in European Union. So from my angle, I will be sincere. I think that Ukraine should become a part of the EU much faster, because it will bring the EU to the very end.
Yeah.
But I'm just being sincere. Yeah.
But Mario, let me just ask you straight, because you went to Donbass on a number of occasions. And during one of your interviews there, you said that Russia should have started special military operation to change the world. Well, I honestly don't think that our president was thinking about changing the world. There was rather no other option aside from starting a special military operation. But why do you think so?
Exactly. Look, just people can listen to me and they will see that everything that is happening right now in the world is a result of the war in Ukraine. We have saw, and the things are going to change, as I said. The people saw, and the people from all around the world saw, what does it mean when you're working for a month and somebody takes the part of your pay and gives it to some other country to go to war with another country. Mm. We see what it means when you have to pay 30% or double prices of heating bills or energy bills. We see how it looks like when they are trying to destroy a country with 21 package of sanctions, and I come to that country and I see that people are living not just good, that people have everything. So sanctions are destroyed. They cannot impose any more sanctions. You know, girls, I was just a kid when they imposed sanctions in Serbia. Those were tough sanctions. We didn't have anything here because we were not strong enough. We were not big enough to do what Russia has done. But now we have a formula how to fight those Western sanctions. So this is how the world is changed. And when it comes to the spiritual way, when it comes to maybe most important way, we see that the world has changed in that way that people are. The patriots in the world are starting to understand that patriotism isn't found in Brussels, and you cannot find an European patriot that doesn't exist. That just doesn't exist. The EU patriot, what is that? NATO patriot, that doesn't exist. So we see that the people have changed spiritually. Also, people come closer to Orthodox Church. I see Americans joining Orthodox Church. I see, and we are all Orthodox in Russia and Serbia, and we all know that this is the greatest bond and motivation of all soldiers who are on the front lines and all the Russians who are right now in Moscow, the faith in our dear Lord. So the war changed the world. There is so many victims there. There is so much tragedy there. And that's the war. I lived through two wars as a child. Nobody asked me, do you want to be bombed? Bill Clinton didn't ask me, Mario, do you want me to bomb you, when I had 10 years? They didn't ask me. But we lived through it. And we stayed normal. I think we stayed normal because, it was, as always, they say Serbs, crazy Serbs, you know. The world has changed. It's going to keep on changing. Putin and all the Russian administration did the best they could. They showed to the world that you can go to the war and not kill civilians, but do it perfectly and precisely, like a doctor. Find terrorists, find Nazis, denazify it, clear, and make people worth living. I was in Mariupol. I visited liberated areas there. People are living. People are living quite normally. You cannot hear any bombs there in Mariupol, for to be exact. I went to Crimea. People are living normally. So, also in Donetsk, which is being targeted for how long? For 12 years, it's been targeted. And also the courage of those people is changing the world. And when I see my colleagues from the West who come there and they meet those people and they spread the real news, it's also changing the world. So world is going to be changed thanks to Russia and to this situation. I'm sticking to that definition that I gave to Russia television when I was at Donbass.
Yeah, it feels like, you know, when you have a bully in the class and you need someone just to stand up, you know, and then the rest would follow. Mm-hmm. So when I'm present at the press conferences that our president is giving, I'm always thinking, if I was the one to pose him a question, that would be my question. How does it feel to be the one, the first one, to stand up against the bully in the class? Mm-hmm. That would be my question.
Yeah.
So I could not agree more with that, because, I was at the Russia-ASEAN summit, and you see some countries that used to be allies of the United States, now they are standing for the multipolar world,
yes,
for some norms of law,
yeah,
on the planet Earth, for the UN Charter to be there, you know, so they're standing for multipolarity because it's more just, it's bringing justice on Earth.
Yeah, and you brought up Elon Musk earlier, and you know, I have said several times, if he would stop Starlink in Ukraine, that would stop everything. And so you have Donald Trump talking about peace, talking a lot, talk, but he's not lifting sanctions against Russia. He's not stopping those contracts that Elon Musk has with Starlink, which is providing the communication for them to wage war and terrorist acts. And actually, Ukrainian, the Zelensky regime has been engaging in terrorist acts against civilians, several within just the last couple of weeks that we've talked about. What is your thoughts on seeing the rise in terrorism acts from the Zelensky regime and the Starlink issue?
Yeah, when it comes to Zelensky and the terrorist acts and everything that Ukrainians are doing, this is like the last chance to try and hit, as they look at Russia, the enemy for them, mm-hmm, to try and hit and to bring the panic into Russian society, etc., which is not possible because they're too weak to do that, and mentally, and physically, and with arms. So yeah, but when it comes to Elon Musk and when it comes to Starlink and Donald Trump and this kind of politics, I think that maybe they have an idea to give Zelensky some more time to do something to show himself to them, to this Western side, which is also, of course, financing wars. But I see and I feel, and I think that we all know that the context between Trump administration and Zelensky are far more worse than when Biden was in charge. And we don't see any kind of new agreements that would give more weapons to Ukraine against Russia from Trump administration, or Elon Musk supporting directly Zelensky. And Elon Musk at least gave us a chance to show to the world how many people are getting kidnapped on the streets of Ukraine daily. Mm-hmm. Without him, we cannot use Facebook and spread the truth, or Instagram, or any other social network. But we can use, and we don't have media in the West that they're going to they're going to show the truth that people are getting abducted there. At least on that X, we can see some kind of truth from Ukraine, that people don't have any rights. That people are starting to protest against Zelensky's regime, and as I said, that is the most dangerous thing that people can do there. So maybe they have Starlink. But I think that we have a much stronger weapon, and that's spreading the truth right now for the people to see what is really going on the streets of Ukraine. And we also saw the Nazis there, and we also saw yesterday the LGBTQ parade there on one side, and the other side we have neo-Nazis. So people are starting to see it. We are going to, I don't know the rest of the people surrounding Elon Musk, who are making decisions. I know that there are some Ukrainians who were born outside of Ukraine there. I don't know if they are making these kind of decisions about Starlink, but everybody tried, I don't know, all of the West tried to defeat Russia, from Napoleon to Austria and Germany, and all of them tried, and they didn't succeed. So they can use Starlink as much as they want, but they are losing people right now. They are importing migrants right now from Africa and from Middle East and from the Indo-Pacific region to replace the Ukrainian population. Most healthy Ukrainian, most healthy population in the planet are Ukrainians and Russians. And I know that Russians don't hate Ukrainian people. I know that because I was there. There is no hate. You know, here in Serbia, we people hate Croatians because of the war. But in Russia, Russians don't hate Ukrainians. I was surprised when I was there, when I was talking to people, and I say something bad about Ukrainians. And I have people in the army who are saying to me, Mario, don't be like that. They are all, we're all connected. You know, like it's
we're like twins. We're like twins. It's like
yes,
twin brother that got into a bad company, you know, or trusted into the wrong man, you know, who doesn't want to marry your twin sister, but just spoil her, you know, and throw her away.
Yes.
Sorry to say that, but that's how we feel about Ukrainians. Mm-hmm. It's rather pain.
I know.
It's rather pain than hatred, honestly.
Yeah.
And I must say that I was really surprised, and I was really positively surprised when I hear that. And this is why there is not so much civilian casualties in Ukraine, because Russians know that Russians are preserving Ukrainians while Zelensky is going through the great replacement and trying to change the population of Ukraine. So I think maybe somewhere, I don't know, like, but really, Putin is now, we came into a position where Russia now is liberating Ukraine from Zelensky, and it's a fact. Because if they don't liberate Ukraine is going to, Ukraine is not going to be Ukraine anymore. It's not, nothing is going to be left of Ukraine.
Mario, but do you think there is a schism now going on between the United States and Europe? Because I think we've all seen this conflict between Giorgia Meloni and Trump, and he literally humiliated her, saying that she was begging for a selfie with him. And then she replied that Italians never beg. And then she asked this question that I think she should have asked a dozen years ago, why he treats his allies like this. And that's the most important question, I think. So finally now, European eyes are also opening about what's going on. So do you think this schism may bring to some practical changes, so to say, their policies of European leaders?
Yeah, of course. The European leaders are searching for building a new, as they like to call it, the army, the alliance, independent of the United States. NATO is coming to an end because of politics of Donald Trump. And that's good. Those are the great news for my end. The end of NATO, the end of collaboration between Washington and the Western Europe, if we can call it that way. Right. And also JD Vance is using regularly any chance to explain to the European leaders that they cannot arrest people because of freedom of speech. And Giorgia Meloni, she promised in her presidential in her campaign in the elections that she is going to send all the migrants home, but then she took 20,000 migrants just in one region, in the island of Lampedusa, and where there is 6,000 locals, she brought 20,000 migrants. So Giorgia Meloni, she betrayed her voters there. She betrayed the right of Europe. And but that conflict started since the Iran war started, when Italy closed its airspace for American jets. So it's going to be interesting. The Trump term is going to end soon. 4 years go like this, they go fast. You know, we're going to see what is going to happen soon. But one thing is for sure, the Russians and the East, the BRICS part, are the countries that are not changing their administrations. Like Americans do every 4 years, we are changing different politics. We are going to put the woke politics right now. Now we're going to close the borders and something. People from the East, the politicians from the East, especially Russia, it has a decades, it has centuries of politics that are the same, and they are for its people, and they are for the future of its people. And it's preserving the culture and the heritage and tradition and everything that the family, something that is the crucial part of every state. But in West, and I, as you mentioned in the beginning of the show, that Germany is going to send some army, that they're thinking they're going to have some war. Who is Germany going to send to war? They don't have any people left. All the healthy people in Germany are against the German government. Are they going to send the transgenders to fight? Those are the ones who are supporting Ukraine. And I can tell you from the first hand, and I went to Austria and I went to Germany and I talked to the patriots and I talked to nationalists there. They don't see Russia as an enemy. They see Merz as an enemy. They see EU and Brussels as an enemy. They don't have Russia importing migrants into their hometowns. They have Brussels doing that. So a lot of things is going to change for good. Maybe the hard times are going to come from Europeans, but it's needed to live through hard times for the sake of tomorrow.
Yeah, what I would say, Giorgia Meloni is getting disillusioned to realize what actually the Prime Minister of Belgium once said, that with the United States, you can either be a happy vassal or a slave. So if I was to address European leaders, I would just say, take care of your own people, and then you won't follow the fate of Keir Starmer, right? Yeah, that's what I would end our conversation on. Thank you so much, thanks. Mario.
Thank you. It was wonderful having you. And how can people, our audience, find you and find your work?
Yeah, I'm based on X and on YouTube, but right now people can follow my work and also watch my movies and shows exclusively on X, since there is not so much censorship there right now. So, and thank you, Tara and Olga, for inviting me, really, from the bottom of my heart. God bless you. Keep on doing your job. You're perfect. I love watching your show every week. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you for going to Donbass for delivering firsthand information to all of your viewers. Okay. So thank you for being with us. We'll keep on inviting engaging guests and keeping you posted on what's going on. We'll meet you in about a week.
Yes, and please do keep sending your guest suggestions and also your questions, as you've been doing. We really do read the comments, and we do appreciate your participation. So thank you, everyone. Peace out.
Take care.